When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That's not hard to do. That's just something I do every day. Why should I be getting paid more for that? It's like, because that information, it has value for other people. Otherwise, they wouldn't fucking buy it.
That's the problem with most people when they get into business, they've never been in business, is they think they're charging for their hours because that's all I've ever been paid for.
Yeah.
It's like, you're not charging for the hours that it takes for you to complete the job.
Yeah.
You're charging for the 20 years of experience that you have doing this damn job.
Let's go.
Welcome to Citizen. We've got a special guest today, Travis Chappelle. You are a podcast host, businessman, Las Vegas resident.
That's it, dude.
That's all I know about you.
That's the resume. I have two kids, too.
And you're married to a woman.
To a woman, as you said. A female woman.
To a female woman, which you, I guess you have to be clear about that these days. Tell me, give me some background on you. Where are you from?
Yeah.
What was your family life like? So on.
Yeah, man. So grew up in SoCal, and in a very interesting way in SoCal. So just to kind of explain what I mean by that, I graduated kindergarten on the same campus that I graduated college from.
Oh, what the fuck?
And my entire life was...
You in a cult or something? What is that?
More or less.
Okay.
More or less. Yeah. So I tell people, I always go back and forth because I can't bring myself to call it a cult, but ultimately, it's got some cult tendencies. You know what I mean? It was the church that I went to, and it was kind of like this mega church campus in the IFB movement, which is Independent Fundamental Baptist. So we were...
So this is a split off from Southern Baptist?
Yeah.
Because they're the main organization in the Southeast, but...
Correct.
There's quite a few others.
The difference between the two of them is that they have the convention, and the convention is kind of the overseeing. So IFB would be independent, meaning that every church operates independently of each other. But we would not even associate with, or to use the church term, fellowship with Southern Baptist because they were too liberal for
us. Really?
Yeah. So very strict, conservative, fundamentalist background. Like I said, the church was the school. The school was the church. So I went to, from kindergarten all the way through senior year of high school, and then they had a ministerial college on the same campus, and I went to that college for all 4 years.
Interesting.
So I came out of that and realized I did not want to be in ministry.
Sure.
Went through a ton of, mental fuckery, trying to rewire my brain for the next few years. Got into business and podcasting, and that kind of brings us to now. So
what was that like, being, what's the right word for that? I guess you're just kind of immersed in that world, and for a lot of kids,
brainwashed is the term.
I grew up in the Pentecostal church in the Southeast, which is pretty similar, I guess.
Speaking of tongues, stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. But there's a lot less organization, which is nice.
Okay.
Because, I don't know. I think they're all contrarians, to be honest. So it's like trying to organize libertarians or something. It's like, good fucking luck, dude.
Sure.
but yeah, what was that like as a kid? Were you sheltered? Because I remember my parents, the only movies I watched until I was 13 or 14 years old, were those ones that you could rent from those weird, knockoff blockbusters with all the swearing and nudity removed out of them?
Yeah,
some
right.
Christian fucking video store.
Well,
or something.
Well, you get the little blocker, the little the TV the Guardian thing. Or whatever.
Yeah.
And it would remove all, and it actually removed the word Woody from Toy Story.
Shit. Well, yeah, I mean, that was pretty suggestive. So yeah, I mean, fair enough.
Yeah. but yes.
And Buzz Sheltered. Lightyear, you're telling me Buzz and Woody, that's not like a reference to something?
Come yeah, on, man. No, for sure. For sure. There's some Illuminati bullshit going on. No, it was very sheltered. Yeah. Mm. And it was weird, dude, because like different parents would have kind of different rules. So like different parents would be lenient on different things. So like I was not allowed to watch any PG-13 R movies or anything like that until I was like 15, 16. Rated R I was not allowed to watch until I became an adult and left my parents' home. I could not watch anything like that. And then video games, like I would go to friends' sleepovers and they'd be playing Halo, you know? I was not allowed to play Halo. I was not allowed to play anything that was like rated teen or above. So I could basically play like Mario and stuff like that. I couldn't play any first person shooter games or like anything like that. So yeah, very, very sheltered. But I, at the time, just thought it was normal. Mm. You know, I had no, I'm an all in kind of a guy. So when I was in it, I was in it. And like, I was ready to, you know, give my entire life for the Independent Fundamental Baptist movement.
Sure. Yeah. 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 Yeah, that sounds pretty fucked up, to be honest. But I'm sure there's like, I think if you're able to navigate through that and not come to terms with it, but I guess keep the decent part and jettison the rest, it's probably not the worst thing, to be honest. That's probably quite a bit better than some of the alternatives in childhood.
Absolutely, dude. That's what I tell people all the time. Like, there's pros and cons to the way everybody's raised. Mm. Everybody's got their shit. Everybody's got good stuff. Everybody's got some bad stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm very blessed and very fortunate. I'm happy that I grew up in a lot of senses that way. Like you said, I would way rather grow up to that extreme than the other extreme.
Yeah.
Because I did have at least some like moral footing when I stepped into adulthood, and I was forced to grow up very, very quickly. And I think it set me on a path to, you know, accomplishing a lot more than a lot of other people would have been doing at my age, because I was already on that track by the time I graduated college. I was married and had a mortgage payment when I was 21. So it's like, there wasn't like that, you know, oh, go find yourself phase. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was just like, well, I'm an adult now and I have bills to pay and a wife to provide for, you know? So yeah, it was good in a lot of senses in that way. And I did see a lot of my friends, unfortunately, from growing up like that, who kind of departed from that world and then lost all sense of like grounding and just started doing shit that I'm just like, dude, what? I mean, that's just not like, that's just like objectively not a good thing to do.
You're behaving like a toddler.
Yeah,
you're like throwing a tantrum as an adult at this point, but not just an individual instance of a tantrum, but you're using your life as a tantrum to be a contrarian now because you don't like the way things went as a child. That's fucking stupid, man.
It really is, because it's only hurting
yourself.
And
it only hurts you. That's fucking dumb.
Only hurts yourself. I
understand it. It's easy to fall into that shit.
For sure, especially when you're in your 20s, your early 20s or whatever. You're just like pissed off at the world because you didn't grow up the exact way that you wanted to.
Fuck
you,
Dad.
You didn't get the advantages. Yeah. Exactly.
Just so petulant and stupid.
Well, when you're starting to face real life, right? Yeah. When I was trying to figure out what I was going to do after I graduated, I was just like, well, I have an unaccredited Bible degree. This is useless. Like this is more useless than the paper that's printed on.
Yeah, I got one of those too.
Nice.
Yeah.
On unaccredited Bible degrees.
Yeah, yeah.
That's from, why we're both podcasters.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I got, so I also have three others, including a graduate degree, but that one, when I went into the Army, I had that degree and a degree in computer networking security and an associate's degree.
There's something
and,
there.
Yeah, that was pretty fun, actually. Most of my professors were like people from the DOD and shit like that, so it was pretty interesting. But
you left with a skill.
I went to seminary because to study comparative religion. I didn't give a shit about theology and stuff like that. I just think that studying religion and religious history is a very good way to understand people over the world, because it's kind of like you're kind of like reading the diary of mankind, where they're kind of having an internal discussion trying to understand their place in the universe. I think that's really, plus it's overlaid with actual history. So I had a good time, but it was fucking, practically it was pointless, but
yeah, well, that's, I mean, at least you got like challenged with your thought, you know, like we didn't have, so when we graduated from the college during the like commencement ceremony or whatever, they would read the like Independent Fundamental Baptist doctrinal statement from the pulpit. And then they would say, stand if you agree with what I just read. And if you did not stand, you would not be able to graduate. So it was not a like, it was absolutely not what traditional college or university is made to do, which is to produce young people who have the ability to think critically about life, to bring in information, use their effing brain for a second, and think through the information, and then be able to actually parse that information and turn it into an opinion that they hold because of something that they believe personally. You didn't get taught any of that. It was like, this is the truth. This is why it's the truth. And if you believe anything other than that, you are not with us. You're against us. And you can fuck right off.
Yeah, that's weird, man. I mean, honestly. So you, it's, we can get to this in a second, but it isn't just religious institutions doing that anymore. Pretty much all of secondary education is built that way now. But, you know, 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, study all things and hold fast to what's true. Mm-hmm. That's Paul telling the Thessalonians not to just believe everything you hear and kind of like do your own work.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is interesting when you see fundamentalism pop up, particularly in what I would call like the new gospel edition of Christian theology, right? It's it's like, should be kind of beyond the rigidness at this point.
You would think so.
That's probably not what any of this is supposed to be about.
Right.
Like you, there, I'm sure there's some middle ground between what I believe, which is that the character of Jesus is probably an effigy to explain what the best possible human being could be. Right. Mm. And the fact that there's some kind of supernatural part of him is, I think, from my perspective, is a reminder that I can't ever achieve that because I'm a human being. I'm going to make mistakes, right? Yep. But that struggle, in the same way that, you know, the Constitution and the Declaration say things like to form a more perfect union, not a perfect union, but a more perfect union, right? Sure. Implies that you should always be trying to work towards that goal. It's probably for people that are in organized religion, I think the truth for them would probably be somewhere north of that, like, because they accept things like the Trinity and blah 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 and all that stuff. I don't really see it as relevant, but definitely not like running around calling everybody heretics and shit, you know what I mean?
Right.
But I do, from some perspectives, I do understand it, because there's a lot of fucking weirdos, like, let's see, Paul and Jan Crouch, although I think they're dead now, the TBN people, remember them? All the faith healers and the fucking megachurch people's like, okay. I mean, you're just like...
Yeah, the ones taking that they put their hand up, like they're using the force to... Yeah, and then they
That's
fall
Kenneth
over
Copeland,
on the
COVID-19! And he tries to blow COVID-19 out of the country or some shit. Yeah. I mean, it's like somewhere between what I believe and that is probably where the modern church should be, you would think, but...
Yeah.
You know, people are very susceptible.
Yeah, well, people crave certainty, man. Like, everybody wants to know for sure. And that was always the big thing. Like, do you know 100% for sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? It's like, and at the time, I would say, yes, of course. But ultimately, factually, nobody knows. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, have you been? Show me, like, you've got some pictures. You know what I mean? Like, show, like, where, what are we talking about?
Well, here? That little kid, like, wrote a book, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Whatever.
Dude, you know what's funny to me is I saw that somebody the other day. I was like, it's so interesting how many people have died for like 15 minutes and they experience heaven, you know, and then they come back and they tell everybody about it. And it's insane to me to watch full grown ass adults who are very intelligent to watch their confirmation bias just over everything in their mind. They go like, see, look, heaven exists. And it's like, whoa, wait a second. like, first of all, it's pretty proven that, you know, our mind still functions after we slip away. That stuff is true, and it happens, and there's
you're,
activity in your brain
you're
still
experiencing
going.
DMT.
Right, exactly.
I mean, that's essentially what it is.
But I was like, if that's true, you know what's wild to me is that nobody, to my knowledge, has ever died for 15 minutes and went to hell.
Yeah,
like they like they're, they wake up or in like a panic, you know what I mean? Like, they just wake up screaming, yeah, like screaming the name of the devil or something like that. And just like, I was just in, like, if both of them existed, then I'd be like, all right, well, let's maybe have a conversation with those people and like we can parse through the information. But you're just telling me that like coincidentally everybody who's ever died for 15 minutes, like they were on their way to heaven.
Yeah,
like odds are probably not. There's kinda probably weird. A few hellbound people that have crossed through the other side.
Yeah, it is. Back. That confirmation bias stuff is strong, though. I mean, that's why I tell people, like, we have a lot of conversations here about parsing through, you know, all the flurry of information that you get now. And I always caution people, like, the more you want to believe something, the more skeptical you should be when presented with evidence to that fact, right? Because it's like there's a good chance somebody's trying to manipulate you.
Yeah.
Or you're manipulating yourself. Because we do indeed crave some level of certainty. And that's what anxiety is, really. It's like being uncertain. And,
right.
And like internal anxiety is about, it's usually, people fucking say things like, I have an anxiety disorder. I'm like, no, you don't. You have anxiety because you're not doing something that your brain knows you're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. Typically, for most people, that's what's happening. It's like it's the same as a pain receptor.
Yeah.
You're anxious because you've got a test and you haven't prepared for it, or there's something in your life, like you're not hitting your benchmarks as a human being. You think you should have a mortgage by now and you're still renting, whatever it is, right? Or just the shit going on around the world.
Or you just have too many options and lack of focus.
Yeah.
You know, like anxiety to me is like, it's even worse because it's like a negativity bias too, because like you're worrying about things that haven't happened and expecting those things to be negative rather than positive. You know, that's what they always say, is like worry is faith in the bad thing happening in the future, and hope is faith that a good thing will happen in the future or whatever.
Yeah.
Just like if you break it down logically, and everybody obviously like worries and everybody has anxiety to a certain extent, and especially now, but it's like, if you really try to break it down, it doesn't make much sense to stay in that state for too long. Like, you got to do something to snap yourself out of it, you know, like, and there's a lot of things that you can do besides going straight into just medication. Obviously I'm not a doctor, but man, walking for me, hydrating, sleeping, like sometimes it's just a matter of that.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I'm back at it, dude.
Well, like, that's like
a good night's sleep.
Yeah. It's almost like the, well, one, you're just, that's like cleaning your equipment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
To make sure it functions properly. Cleaning and lubing, from my perspective, not because I've got guns everywhere, but, you know, that's just like the very base stuff to do.
Yeah.
And we've kind of eliminated that from ordinary life.
For some reason.
You know, I think there's a lot of good advice on how to live in the modern age with all these fucking weird food additives and unnatural light everywhere. One of them is you probably shouldn't put anything in your body that didn't exist 200 years ago. I think that's a pretty good,
ultra processed.
Yeah. Foods. I mean, pretty much everything you buy these days is fucked. but it is, you should also think about what the daily life of people looked like for the 12 or so thousand years before the Industrial Revolution, right? Mm-hmm. Before indoor lighting and stuff. What did that look like? Because, you know, we've been in buildings for something approaching 12,000 years, maybe longer. I mean, if you include caves and shit, it's probably more like 100 to 125,000. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of time for evolution to do its thing, you know, to kind of guide us, shape us, and blah blah blah, and all this stuff. And it isn't just about being used to something, it's about how we've been genetically optimized over time,
right?
So it's not enough to just think about, like, you're not going to go build your own house, right? But what was it about farming and building houses and all this stuff that, what, how can you mimic the benefits of that in your normal life, like moving around, being in the sun, shit like that, right?
Yeah.
And it's we have these real bad problems where we think extremely superficially, right? It's like, well, I'll just take a pill or a shot and that'll fix it. And then we try to solve problems downstream instead of upstream. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like trying to stop the juggernaut after he started running.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's just like that. That's the worst possible strategy.
Yeah.
But that's our go-to every single time.
And the thing to me, dude, is that there's no end game there. That's like the biggest problem.
You're just
like,
constantly chasing it forever.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly. It doesn't actually solve the root of the problem. It just means that you're going like what? So you just decided that you're going to be on medication for the rest of your life. Like that's the solution. It's like, look, get some help and take care of the problem and do what you got to do. Again, I'm not a doctor, but also like you got to think about, well, what about in 10 years from now? Do I really want to be doing this in 10 years? What about 20 years from now? You know what I mean? Like,
and what's the price you're paying?
There's
for that,
something
right?
Exactly. Like, what percentage of you is no longer there because you're just you go directly into like, well, medication has to be the answer. It's like, well, maybe short term, maybe you can use it to like help you, you know, get out of this slump. But like, there's got to be something that you're pushing for. There's got to be something that you can substitute it with at some point.
Yeah. So. That's just common sense, though, right? Like
you would think so.
We wouldn't behave that way in any other facet of our life. So if your house caught on fire because of an electrical issue, you would use maybe water or chemicals to put it out, but you wouldn't. The long term solution is not to keep your house wet for the rest of your fucking life. Right. I mean, that's stupid. We wouldn't even consider that.
Right.
But we'll do that with our own bodies. Like the one body we have, I can build a new fucking house.
Well, that's because it's hard. It's hard to do the work.
Is it that hard? I don't know if I agree with that. It's a lot harder to feel like shit every day.
That's very true. Both paths are hard is the problem. And somebody who's in that cycle of negative thought processes and has been there for months, the amount of work that it would take for them to get out of it in their mind is so far beyond what they're capable of that they're just like, I'll just do this. You know what I mean? It's like,
this episode is brought to you by ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. Ghostbed. It's the best bed in the world. It's the most comfortable sheets, pillows, the whole thing. I've got them all, man. And you know, they wanted to extend their best possible offer to Drinking Bros. They've been with us for a very long time. So, this is the email they sent us. We want Drinking Bros to get the best offer, so I updated the code for 50% site-wide. That's 50% site-wide. Use the code Drinking Bros with no G, for 50% off site-wide. Everything that you buy on this site is going to be 50% off. Again, they got the best pillows, sheets, mattresses. They got the mattress protector if you're sloppy and spill things and you don't want to jack up your mattress. They have pretty much everything you need. They've got weighted blankets now. They've got the adjustable base, which we really like. I've got one in my home. So go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. Use the code drinkingbros for 50% off site-wide. And don't forget about their pay-as-you-go plan. If you're with approved credit, you're going to be able to pay this thing off over the course of 3 to 5 years for $25 to $35 a month. It's nothing. Go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros today. And use the code DRINKINGBROS for 50% off. This episode is also brought to you by BlackRifleCoffee.com. The best coffee in the world. As a matter of fact, they won both the gold and bronze medal at the Golden Bean Awards this year for their exclusive coffee club entries in the elite category. So the best coffee on earth literally was Circus Bear by Black Rifle, one of their ECS. So I recommend that you go sign up for the Black Rifle Coffee Club. Use the code CITIZEN. You're going to get those points off. And, you know, you get all the benefits for being in the coffee club. You get the free shipping. You get access to all the partner deals. You get access to the exclusive coffee club. You get access to any new products that come out before anybody else does. You know, it's a very large club that they have over there. And the coffees are premium. Every single one of them is good. You're going to get experience for you. You can do just the plain coffee club. And if you want your two bags of espresso or your two bags of silencer smooth or whatever it is you drink, you can get those two bags or one bag or whatever you want every month, or rather you can use the ECS, the exclusive coffee club, and get access to some of the most premium coffees on the planet and kind of learn what it is that you like. You know what I mean? So then you can order those premium coffees from Black Rifle as well. So, and we all know they got the best branding, the best merch, and they're buddies. You know, we're all friends here. We love Black Rifle. So go to blackriflecoffee.com, sign up for the coffee club, or buy something. Do whatever you want. Use the code CITIZEN. You're going to get those points off. This episode is brought to you by firstform.com/citizen. Free shipping on all orders over $75 when you use the link. And you're not going to spend less than $75. I mean, they get the best products in the world, especially the OptiGreens. You know me, I don't eat vegetables because they're fucking pointless. So I supplement with OptiGreens 50 from First Form. It is precisely formulated green superfood powder meant for overall immune system support and digestive health. It's really good, aside from just getting the daily greens into your body that you need. And make sure, by the way, you're taking this with MCT, because you have to take anything like this with MCT. 80% of your immune system is located in your gut and your digestive tract, right? So healthy digestion is essential for overall health and wellness, not to mention that most of your serotonin, I think 96% of your serotonin or 94%, is made in your gut as well. So you're going to be in a better mood. You're going to feel better physically, and you're going to feel better mentally if you are taking these greens. OptiGreen 50 has 50 chosen ingredients, effectively dosed. It's not necessarily how many ingredients there are, though, but it's about the right amount of each. Taste and texture, not like no other product in the market. It's not gritty. It doesn't have a weird flavor. It's got sweet berry flavors, actually. 100% of the greens are all grown and manufactured inside the United States, and they are bioavailable. Now, they've got other products as well. They've got the Microfactor, which you see behind me on every show, and I take them every day. You know, you got essential fatty acids, CoQ10, you get all the stuff you need in one little packet for your daily vitamin pack. And you mix that, you make yourself a OptiGreens 50 shake, and you take those pills with it, and you're going to improve your life precipitously. You're going to feel better, you're going to look better, so on and so forth. So go to firstform.com, that's 1STPHORM.com/citizen. Use the code, you're going to get free shipping on all orders over $50.
It's like, well, I'd rather be at 80% of myself forever instead of 60% of myself for the next 8 months, put in a lot of hard work, and then be back at 110% in 9 months from now. Just like I agree with you in saying that both paths are going to be difficult. You have the ability to choose which path is going to be the one that you're going to take, but most people just won't choose the path that includes work. They just want the give me the magic pill.
Mm.
That's why everybody buys supplements and then they sit on their shelf in their, you know, pantry, and then they're still the same. They look exactly the same 4 years later. Mm-hmm. It's like taking the supplements is just that. It is just a supplement. It's not going to get you in shape.
Yeah.
It's not going to get you fit. Like, they're just a supplement. You still have to do the hard work of eating fewer calories than you exert and moving more and getting in the, like, you still have to do that work. If you don't do that work, the supplement doesn't do anything for you.
Yeah. You know? And we used to think, for men, especially, particularly coming out, and now it's all men, 21-year-old man today has the same level of testosterone a 65-year-old did in 2001.
Right. Oh my God.
So it's a very pervasive problem. But the military, especially because of toxic exposure and traumatic brain injury, it happens a lot. Those are two things that really affect the pituitary system. So we've had a lot of issues with this, myself included. But I found, like, the old thinking was, well, once you start TRT, you'll never be able to stop. Mm-hmm. That's not really true, right? I mean, some people may need it forever, but I've seen dudes come off it. I've seen dudes go in for their, like, after 18 months or so, and their testosterone is at like 900, 1,000, 1,100. They're like, oh shit, that's way too high.
Yeah,
I don't need to be taking this anymore. And they'll start weaning off of it. And what the common thread is for those guys is the initial boost from the TRT was able to fucking help them reprogram their lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They got active again. They started eating the right food again.
Yep.
And sometimes taking supplements as well. There's plenty of natural shit out there. Not that taking testosterone, there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you can do things naturally, if you can eat whole foods, that's always the best way to do it.
Yeah, sure. And supplements are great. I'm not talking shit on supplements.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My point is just to say that, like, a gym membership is more difficult to sell than a supplement is, even though a supplement's more expensive.
Well, not in January. January, they're easy to sell, but come March, it's pretty much all over after that.
You gotta stop the enrollment fees.
Oh my God.
It's $0.
That gym in fucking Vegas is a fucking nightmare.
Which one?
What's the big one there?
Mine is awesome. Lifetime.
Oh yeah, I love Lifetime.
Oh yeah.
Lifetime's the best gym in the country.
Oh, for sure. Hands down.
not a paid sponsor or anything. I've got a gym at my house, so I don't go anymore. But
okay.
Yeah, it is. It's mine. By far the best gym I've ever been to.
Oh, it's so good.
What is it?
I can't do another one after that. Hold on. Oh, there's you're talking about LVAC.
Yes. God damn
Las Vegas
dude.
Athletic.
Especially.
LVA. That's like Lifetime Light.
Yeah. But especially in like the New Year's resolution or Lent periods or something like that,
mm-hmm.
it gets rough, man. It's like there's I don't know.
It's like Planet Fitness.
Yeah, you could make that place the whole city and people would show up for that month. But yeah, it is like people use that phrase choose your hard because life's gonna be hard no matter what. And it's either gonna be hard beneficially or it's gonna be hard. Like if you're taking pills for the rest of your life, your kidneys and liver and pancreas, they're all going to get fucked.
Yep.
Right? I mean, it's going
to... They're not supposed to do that.
Yeah.
We're putting foreign substances into our body and then pretending like it's natural. Mm. It's just...
And you
like,
may not live... Or you may not lose liver or kidney function or anything like that. It may be fine. You stay hydrated and stuff. But, you know, putting foreign substances in your body is going to cause problems. Like, there's a lot of links to dementia and shit like that. Even with people that have, like, acid reflux and shit. Typically because of... too much weight in the upper part of the stomach here and they're leaning forward on it and it's pressing, it's called a hiatal hernia and it presses up on your duodenum and your esophageal sphincter and causes shit to spew up into your, feels like indigestion, right?
Yeah.
But it's not really indigestion. So it's mostly from being overweight, having bad sleep habits, having bad diet. But people take this drug called omeprazole, right? It's a pretty common, I think there's a generic brand name for it. I don't know what it is, but it is now been linked to early onset dementia, right?
Hmm.
So it's like you can do a couple of things to help your lifestyle out, or you can fucking be retarded when you're 65 years old.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like that doesn't seem like a hard choice to make.
It's always exactly. What are the options here?
Yeah.
Like what is the alternative? The alternative is just to embrace being unhealthy for the rest of your life. You know what I'm saying? Because like, dude, I played a ton of basketball growing up. Mm-hmm. I was always in good shape. Never thought about diet or nutrition or anything like that. Then I got injured my junior year of college, sophomore year of college, got surgery, reconstructive surgery on my ankle, junior year of college, and then I just stopped playing. Mm. I was just like, well, there's zero future for me in basketball. I'm not that good. And now I'm just screwing myself up doing this. So I got married, stopped playing basketball within a year and a half, 2 years. And this is like right after Bible college. Mm. And I was selling door-to-door alarms for a while. And I did door-to-door sales for probably 4 or 5 years after college. And we would just go party all the time. And it was my first time ever doing that kind of stuff. So I started drinking when I was like 23. And I started drinking beer all the time with the alarm crew and whatever. I blew up to 250 pounds in about a year and a half. And was always like kind of struggling with the weight after that, you know, like 250 down to 200, up to 220, down to 200, everything like that. But like ultimately, the conclusion that I came to was exactly what I just said earlier, which is like, what is the alternative here?
Yeah.
Like the alternative is I either need to learn how my body processes food and come up with a plan and a system to stay in good shape and be healthy, or I will be unhealthy for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And that to me does not sound like a good option.
No, it's definitely not. Especially, I mean, I'm sure having kids was a fucking light bulb moment.
Oh, for sure.
It is for a lot of people. It's like, oh shit, I'm not feeling great. And then you start looking at WebMD and you're like, oh, I've got cancer in my head or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
WebMD just tells you you got cancer every time. You're like, all right, I probably want to be around
it
for
might
their
be
graduation.
Cancer.
Yeah. But it's like, It's there's a barrier to entry for people, I think, because one, there's so much fucking snake oil, not just in products, but in advice as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the reality is, like you said, I mean, the way you said it was really smart. It's like, I got to find out how my body processes this stuff because not everybody needs to go do a soul crushing workout every day to get the results they want. Some people like it's legitimately with a healthy diet, as little as like 15 minutes of exercise a day, and your body will be just fine all the time. Some people need more. Some people, no, I don't think anybody would need less than that, but it's like, you gotta do some trial and error stuff. Yep. And I think for people these days that are struggling, and it's not just these days, it's been a while, but busy, you got kids, you're tired. It's like, how much time am I going to devote to figuring this thing out?
That's
how much can I change it up.
It's like, the work again, you know what I mean? That we're talking about.
Yeah. Right? Like, but I don't think people know what to do. Like, how do I test my diet to see if that's the kind of diet I should have?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because there's sure. there's easy ways to do it. You can sign up for companies on the internet. My friend Kelsey Kohler's got one, and do blood tests, tell you what's fucking deficient in your body. They send you some meal guides and supplement stuff, like magnesium is a big one that we seem to be pretty fucked on, magnesium and phosphorus especially, and vitamin D. But, you know, kind of tune that up a little bit and then check again, see what it's like. But then you got to do that on the exercise side as well. Then you got to do it on the sleep side as well. Now, I mean, not everybody needs 8 hours. Not everybody's going to be sleeping at the same exact time.
Right.
Not so you got to figure that shit out. Man.
Not everybody needs to be on carnivore. No, like whatever, you know, one size fits all thing that you've been told is probably not true.
No,
it's just at the end of the day, you have to be willing to put in the work to figure out, hey, what's going to work for me? Not just what works for me, like how does my body process things, but like for with my schedule. Oh, I travel a lot. Well, what do I do when I travel? I'm not the meal prep guy. Yeah. Like I'm not going to be packing like six fucking supplement, like containers of chicken and turkey and stuff.
I've got friends like that. Like, you know, Matt Frazier, CrossFit champ for like 5 straight years.
Oh yeah.
He and his wife just walking around with fucking Tupperware eating all the
time. Yeah, savages.
And they love it, dude. They love it.
Savages.
But I'm just like, there's no fucking way I'm doing that. I mean, I've got discipline to sit behind a sniper scope, but not to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just different forms of discipline.
Well, my discipline on that is fasting. So when I travel, I fast a lot.
Well, that one appears to be, intermittent fasting appears to be one that works for pretty much everybody to some degree, right? But I think it's, again, we're talking about mimic behaviors from 200 years ago that were forced upon them, but do it, like make it part of your structure. That's kind of how it went. Like you may have a cup of coffee or some water in the morning, but typically you weren't eating a big meal until like 6, 7, 8, 9 p.m., something like that, right?
It's like we just, as a culture, overeat, especially in the USA.
The goddamn British, man. Fucked us up so bad. Why are they eating? They have like, they have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They have tea time at 10 a.m. Are you fucking kidding me? What are you, a hobbit or some shit?
Biscuits. Yeah. Exactly.
God damn it. That's why, what's his name? Who's the fucking king now? What's that dick's name? Charles? Yeah, Charles. Have you seen his fingers?
No.
They look like fucking Vienna sausages. They're all swollen up. He's got like a fucking signet ring on that will never come off until he dies. But yeah, that like you got to figure out what works for you. And I do think that's a barrier to entry for people, because how do people figure shit out? They go on the internet and look it up, and somebody's like, oh, if you just take my one step plan to fucking like, come on, man.
It's only $3,000.
Yeah. But moving around is the best. It'll always be the best.
Yeah. That dude, honestly, like that was the bottom line is this. If you're listening or watching and you want to take, you know, your health seriously, it's just a math equation. Mm. And then being disciplined enough to stick to the math equation. That is it. Mm-hmm. It's figuring out what's my ideal body weight, multiplying that by 10, 11, or 12, and saying that is the number of calories that I am allowed to have every day in order to lose weight. Like it at its core, obviously you don't want to be using the calories that you have to be eating a bag of Doritos, obviously.
Yeah.
But I'm saying even if you did that, if you ate fewer calories than you expend, you will lose weight and be able to get stuff
in, you may not feel great.
Exactly.
You're not going to feel good. But
and it'll be more difficult because foods like that are less satiating. You'll tend to want to continue eating more food, you know, but you have 400 calories worth of chicken breast and that gives you 70 grams of protein and then you're full. You don't need to eat for like 5-6 hours. You know what I mean? You don't have to fill your stomach with carbs and breads and all these other like starches and processed shit. But that's all beside the point. Like figure out the equation and stick to the equation. The problem is people aren't honest with themselves. Mm. And I say this as somebody who was that person. Like when you're tracking your calories on a daily basis, like you have to do it, by the way. Like you have to track your calories because if you don't.
You don't necessarily need to track all macros.
Not macros, just calories.
Protein probably and calories. I think protein's important just because it keeps you thermogenic, make sure you're burning and stuff.
Optimize for protein 100%.
Yeah.
When you do eat. But the ultimate thing for me was just like, I tracked my calories. Mm. I didn't even change anything about my diet.
Mm.
For like a month, all I did was track. But what it did was open my eyes to how many calories I was actually consuming on a daily basis.
Was there a particular like app or something you were using? Or you just
MyFitnessPal.
It has the broadest library of common foods
correct
that you can punch in.
Yeah, so where you don't have to be like measuring it on a scale and shit like that. Yeah.
It's probably the easiest one to use, to be honest. But yeah, then, you know, so the only way you're ever going to lose weight is to be in a calorie deficit. That's literally it. The only way, unless you get a fucking leg amputated or something. Yeah. It's that's the only way.
That's
and then moving around, think of it this way, you know, we sit at desk a lot now. We sit around inside, then we get home and we're tired from talking to people and working on computers all day. So we sit on our couch and watch TV. It's mm-hmm. like, you got to find time to move around. Look at the difference between a stagnant river, and a river in the mountains that flows downhill over rocks.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Which one would you drink?
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? And then think about your blood, and you know, your blood is carrying all these nutrients around, right? And it's
or lack of nutrients.
Yeah, yeah. it's carrying nutrients, oxygen and nitrogen around your body, and you need all that shit. And you know, if you don't have, and lipids as well that are the carriers for all these nutrients. If you mm-hmm. don't, if you're, I think this is a really important thing for people to understand. It's one reason I really recommend people using MCT oil or MCT oil powder mm-hmm. or something like that to make sure that the supplements you're taking are actually doing something. But
yeah,
if you think about your blood, think about like a little stream of water, right? And then you drop little droplets of olive oil or something in there. It's just like one individual drops. Mm-hmm. Those little drops inside your bloodstream, that's what's carrying shit around. Mm-hmm. If there's blockages and plaque and shit inside of there, or inflammation, which is worse, mm-hmm. It's bumping around. It's not efficient. You know what I mean? Your blood pressure's high.
Right.
Your pulse is high. All this stuff. Like, you are operating at very limited efficiency.
Right.
If you're not, and the best solution, anti-inflammatory diets are nice, right? You should definitely look into that, especially if you're sensitive to certain types of food. You shouldn't eat any gluten product that's made in America. Anything bred in America, don't eat any of that shit. But just walk around for 15 minutes a day. Like, that's seriously, 15 minutes or 15 to 30 minutes a day, and it'll turn your dirty ass blood into good blood.
I was going to say, walking was like another one of those secret things that it just seems too easy.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
One, like I
but that's, you know, just, that's what we've been doing. We're like fucking the Lord of the Rings. We've been walking around for 150,000 years.
Exactly. Man. Exactly. Yeah. I felt like I was being lazy when, like, cause my, you know, one of the guys I trust a lot, you know, there's a few people in my life where I'm like, this guy actually knows what he's talking about. You know, this girl actually knows that, like, she actually knows her shit. She's not just looking stuff up on the internet, you know? And this guy told me one time, he's like, yeah, dude, just go for walks. He was like, I was like, cool, I like running. And he's like, no, not running, walking.
Yeah.
You got to keep your heart rate below like 130, 140 beats per minute.
Mm.
You don't want to get into like zone 3 cardio. It's like, just walk uphill, put a weight vest on, get up to like 120, 125 beats per minute.
Yeah.
I felt like I said, I felt like I was being lazy. Just like, well, I feel like I should be running. Like, I'm not even working up a sweat. I'm just walking. Like, what am I doing here? But it is one of the best things for you. And I was talking to a naturopathic doctor friend of mine who I was kind of walking through some stuff with him. And he was like, oh yeah, walking isn't just good for weight loss. It actually helps your organs regulate the sugar in your blood. Like, it helps. It's like a glucose regulation tool. Just going for walks every day. And I was just like, man, like, why am I just learning this? You know what I mean? Like, it's a walk. It's something that anybody, it's the lowest barrier to entry possible. Like,
well, if Arnold you tried walk to tell more, us, dude.
It will work better.
Arnold tried to tell us in the late 80s, early 90s with the presidential fitness thing.
Really?
He tried to tell us. Just move, get up and move around. And then who was the other, was it the NFL that did that move bullshit? Yeah,
get outside and play.
Something like that. So it's not, and to your point, it's not just the circulatory and glucose benefits, but also now you're getting real vitamin D.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So everybody's taking vitamin D supplements now. Mm-hmm. And I've talked to quite a few evolutionary biologists. I don't really talk to supplement people because they're selling something.
Of course.
But I've talked to quite a few evolutionary biologists, including Brett Weinstein. I don't know if you know who that is.
Yeah.
So Eric's little brother. Mm-hmm. He's an evolutionary biologist. He and his wife are evolutionary biologists. And they've been doing research on this. I'm really looking forward to seeing what comes of it. But everybody's taking these vitamin D supplements and it's not fixing the problem. Right. So it's like, okay, maybe it wasn't just vitamin D deficiency. Maybe it's the way that we're absorbing it. Maybe it's the combination of the movement, glucose regulation, and vitamin D all at the same time that makes you able to absorb it. Who knows? Right. So that's why it's hard to say, it's hard to do these massive tests and come up with a singular answer, because one, it's hard to do the test in the first place, and two, people are so disparate.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Right.
But you can do what people did 200 years ago.
Yes.
Like, how much time in the day should I be moving around? more than what we do now, for sure.
Absolutely. Right? I mean, especially if you like, if you're like me or like you, and this is what you do most of the time.
Yeah.
Just like, I just take calls. Yeah. Like, you don't have to just like be unproductive. Like, I got a call at 3 o'clock. Cool. Well, yeah. I'm going to take that walking.
And then today. Just walk around the fucking building while you're talking. Yeah. I mean, it's relatively easy, I think, to do some of this these are very low hanging fruit things, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
Like intermittent fasting, you're just not doing something,
right? Exactly.
Which is the easiest thing you'll ever
do. Replacing doing something with not doing something.
I don't do things all the time. Right. It's so easy. And then you can control that. And then, you know, walking around, you can control that too. You can get up and walk around your office.
Yep.
Even if it's indoors, you can still get up and walk around. Just doing those two things and kind of managing your diet.
Yep. Well, it bumps up the equation, right? Like, that's what I say. If you do the math and it's like, okay, I got 2,000 calories. It's like, but if you go for 3 or 4 like little micro walks throughout the day, it's like, oh, well, now I could have 2,600 calories.
I'm burning like 700 extra calories a day. Exactly. And it becomes the interesting thing about that is it becomes part of your routine, mm-hmm. and you don't even think about it anymore. Mm-hmm. And then you can, like, for people that are so motivated to do something like this, then you can start adding other stuff to it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because this is just baseline stuff that's part of your day.
Exactly. Drink more water.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Well, I don't drink water. I drink coconut water always.
Oh, coconut water. Yeah, but that's hydration.
It's pure coconut water. So it's that stuff right there.
Oh, okay. Oh, I've had that.
It's really good. So it's got a lot of phosphorus, a lot of magnesium, stuff like that, that we just don't get in our diet anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah, you should be drinking coffee, water, coconut water, soda, none of that bullshit. Calories, don't drink your calories.
Don't drink calories. Dude, as soon as I realized, soda was the easiest thing for me to stop drinking because
That there's fucking 38 grams of sugar in that shit and a 12-ounce can.
I want a chocolate chip cookie, bro. If I'm going to have sugar, I'm not just going to shovel it into my mouth in the form of like fizzy syrup.
Fuck that. Because it's over.
I'll have a water, please. Right. And then later, I'm gonna go to town on this McFlurry.
You know what's funny? BJ Baldwin has made a post about that like 2 days ago on his Instagram talking about how he got up to like 280. I think, and I think he's down to like 215 now.
Okay.
Super lean, looks good.
Yeah.
And he's an athlete. I mean, if you call drivers athletes, to be honest, I can't do what he does. He's a fucking incredible driver, but, and it is, he does long distance, like desert races. So that's definitely grueling, but, you know, he talked about how I don't want to waste, I guess, what was the phrase he used? Don't waste your cheat meal. Mm-hmm. Like, don't make your cheat meal some fucking 30-second soda. Get a bowl of fucking ice cream or something. Exactly. Something that you really enjoy. You know what I mean? And make that – I think that should be part of it as well. Like, we've kind of demonized eating for pleasure.
Correct.
Because we've got such bad eating habits. But I think we're fucked up. Like, we're trying to fix the wrong thing there.
Well, and that's the problem with, like, all the fad diets and stuff like that. Because that was my problem. Is like, I would stay disciplined as hell for 8 weeks. And I wouldn't touch anything that I wanted to eat. And it was, like, torture.
Yeah.
You know? And then as soon as you're done with the diet, it's like, well, cool. I'm done. I lost the weight. Now I can have the donut or whatever.
Yeah.
But you don't – again, you're not forcing yourself to learn – the actual equation of what's going on inside of your body at that point. You're just like, cool, now I can eat a bunch of food. And then you gain the weight right back as soon as you lost it. So like for me now, like what you just said, that's why it was so important for me to track my calories, because it's like even stuff like, oh, a handful of my wife's fries, you know, and a teaspoon of ranch. Like I would estimate everything I put into my freaking mouth and I would put it into that app. But then you look at the end of the day and it's like, well, those like little bites and stuff like that, that added up to 600 calories when you look at it over the course of the day, like barbecue sauce. There's calories in barbecue sauce.
There's a lot of brown sugar in barbecue sauce.
There's a lot of sugar, and it's very high in calories. Yeah. Like the Chick-fil-A sauce, like every sauce you have is really high in calories.
Yeah, I think one packet of Chick-fil-A sauce is 140 calories.
I believe it.
I think it's one.
That's what I'm saying.
That's a lot.
I have at least two of those babies every
time. Yeah. Come on. So it's like,
But like my point is like when I started realizing that after I tracked the food, it's like, well, shit, dude. Like you said, I would way rather go for a bowl of ice cream after dinner tonight. So you know what? I think I'm just not going to have that handful of fries. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to eat those like potato chips from my son's lunch or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, I think I'm good on those because I would way rather gorge on that cookie later. And it's like this whole time that I've lost. So I'm about 180, 185 right now. So the last like 40 pounds that I've lost, I've eaten cookies and donuts and ice cream the whole time. Pizza, I drank beer. Like I optimize for protein.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I hit like 130, 140 grams of protein in the day, it's like, well, I got 700-800 calories to mess around with.
Yeah.
And I can fill that with things that I really, really enjoy because I'm a big foodie.
Yeah,
I can do it in a way that doesn't make me blow up, gain weight, and feel like an unhealthy piece of crap.
Yeah, because the reality is that if it's miserable for you, you will not continue doing it. It's just not going to happen, man.
100%.
And the sad irony is it doesn't need to be that way. That's a really stupid way of going about it, you know. But we've been gaslit about diet for our entire lives, for sure.
Yep.
Probably most of our parents' lives as well, I guess, because when did the food pyramid come out? In the early 50s? Fuck,
dude. Yeah, what it's a like, joke that was.
It's like, grain is the most important part of your diet. What are we, fucking poor people in ancient Rome? Are you kidding me? Like, why would grain be the most important part
of
our
diet?
It's
wild when you look at it now. It's like,
we didn't even start eating grain until a couple thousand years ago.
Yeah, like how did we even think that this was something that,
we were hunter-gatherers. You know what I mean? Like modern farming, at the earliest, modern farming began like 10,000 years ago, right? So around the same time we started drinking milk. This is a good comparison. Around the same time we started drinking milk from animals, and we still have people that are lactose intolerant. We still have people that have gluten intolerances. It may not be full on celiac disease, but people don't react to it well sometimes. What does that tell you?
Mm-hmm.
It's like not made for you necessarily. Now I'm good with milk. I like it. Some people still have issues with it, but
I do.
A lot of people do. I guess
that was another thing. That was another thing that I didn't realize. Like what we're talking about, maybe you should just try something different.
Yeah.
Cause I never drank water growing up. I just didn't like it. And so I just drank milk and I would drink milk a lot. And
if it's not good for you, if you've got problems with that, you're going to have bad gut health and a lot of inflammation.
That was the problem.
Like that sucks. And that affects
it affects your brain.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your mental clarity,
your mood, all the serotonin is made in your gut.
Yeah.
Right. So the good type of hormone that's affecting your mood is all made in your gut and you're just dumping on it. You're just eating fucking Big Macs and shit.
Yeah.
And Dino Nugs. And so to that point, it's gotta be a little bit more difficult with kids. Once you got young kids and you're working long hours, it's like, oh, I'm just going to eat what the kids eat. I got to get these motherfuckers to eat something. I can't let them die. So I got to eat whatever the fuck. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, now it's like, we just really try to sneak it in and find the things that they do like, right. So like at breakfast, they get eggs. It's like, if you want a bite or two, like we were at breakfast a couple days ago with some friends all the other kids were having like pancakes and stuff. And, we were like, well, you can have some pancakes, but you have to eat these eggs first.
Yeah.
Eggs are like nature's multivitamin, you know, like they're so good for you.
Eggs and to milk to some degree as well, but it's the perfect food, right?
Yeah, it is.
It's like what all has condensed protein and fat, super
and
highly nutritious
and
stem cells and shit
in there too. Yeah, yeah, right. My son, you know, ate all of his eggs and he's like, cool, can I have the pancake now? I was like, yeah, sure, you can have the pancake. He had two bites of the pancake. I was like, I'm full. I was like, right. Because you ate some satiating protein first instead of filling your face with this like just carb heavy syrup soaking like nonsense first. Yeah. It's like, you fine, have some, enjoy yourself, but like just make sure you take care of yourself first.
Yeah. Not only are you eating less of the garbage, but this is just like basic biology that we seem to have lost somehow. Protein burns quite a bit slower than carbs, which means you're not going to fucking be sleepy at 2 p.m. after you eat eggs in the morning.
Correct.
Like if you eat a bunch of pancakes in the morning, that's why you need your 5-hour energy at 2 o'clock. You know what I mean? It's like, you don't necessarily need that. I drink coffee because I like the taste. I don't need that shit.
Absolutely.
I love the taste of it. It comes from working at Black Rifle all those years, but
I just love the ritualistic.
Yeah.
Just like cup of hot coffee, get started for the day.
Yeah. And we're still deprogramming people from this low fat shit. I mean, God, that might be the worst thing that we've ever done. That and corn syrup are probably the two worst things.
Demonizing red meat too.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that everybody really believes that one, to be honest. A lot of people did, but
I at least bought into it to a certain degree. Where I would like, I would if I'm out or whatever, I would try to get chicken instead of red. And it was just like when I did the real research on it, I was listening to, you know, Max Lugavere.
Yeah,
He's one of my favorites to listen to because he's not the one size fits all guy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he had somebody on his show, and they were talking about how red meat is the only real superfood. And that's what this guy's opinion was. And they were talking about all the different benefits that you get from doing it. And I was like, well, that's all I needed. Yeah. That was all I needed to hear. So like, dude, like if I'm going on like a heavy, like weight loss thing, like I'll fast till dinner and I'll have like 16 ounces of ribeye and then that's it.
I ate two steaks for dinner most nights. As a matter of fact, I ate a fuckload of steak last night, probably too much, but it tastes really good.
But it's like 1200 calories. It's like 130 grams of protein.
Yeah.
90 grams of fat,
and it's gonna burn ton of until you wake up, basically. Exactly. Right.
And the crazy thing, dude, is like one of the things that I've learned recently is like protein as a macro, it's impossible to turn into fat.
Right.
That's why it's also another reason to prioritize protein so much, is because like carbs and fat can become fat on my body. Like protein will never become fat. That's why you get the meat sweats, because your body's like working overtime. It has that natural thermogenic effect to try to burn and process the food that you just ate to get it through your body, suck the nutrients out of it, and then get rid of it. You know what I mean? It's not going to end up on your hips.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like and it's delicious. That's kind of what we're talking about earlier. It's like, you don't have to torture yourself. Like I'm eating food that I really enjoy. And then afterwards it was like, well, that's 1300 calories. Well, I got 800 more calories than I'm allowed to have. Cool. Now I can eat something that I really like.
Here's a good that people should do this sometime. Look up what the nutrients are in flour, right? And think about eating bread and how much a part of our diet it is and how few actual good qualities it has. It has some amount of protein, right? Trace amounts of some stuff, but for the most part, you're just eating wheat.
It's filler.
You know what I mean? And then you look at eating cow meat, eating the fat from cow meat especially, or lamb. They're eating grass, and that blade of grass is soaking up. Everything is in the soil, right? So my food is eating that food, processing it, and it's four stomachs that were designed to do that, and then loading that nutrient into its fat, and then I eat that, right? Mm-hmm. Because even cows, they're kind of dumb, but they got legs, they can run away. Other animals have teeth and claws and shit, so they can fight back. Plants only have one way to fight back, and that's to be hard to get, hard to digest, whatever. Mm-hmm. Venomous or poisonous, I guess.
Right.
Like, I'm not anti-vegetable necessarily.
Sure.
But it's like, it shouldn't be a huge part of your diet, I don't think. Yeah. I like them. Don't get me wrong.
It's like you got the OptiGreens up there, right? Like, if you're getting the micronutrients in, then like that's what matters, whether you get it. And obviously, like, most of the time it's better to get your nutrients from actual food than it is from supplements. Yeah. But
you can't these days. Like, you, for a dude my size, I weigh 223. I've got to eat, I think 20 servings of green vegetables a day to get the amount of shit. Like, there's no way I'm doing that, man.
Good luck.
Like, I wouldn't, my fucking gut would be fucked from that.
Right.
Well, we have one stomach. We have one, we're omnivores for sure.
Yeah.
But we have one stomach. Like, when we talk about, we were hunter gatherers, right? Mm-hmm. We were picking berries and nuts up off the ground, not planting corn and wheat and shit like that. And then we're killing animals and eating them. That's what our bodies are designed for. Cow's got four stomachs. Mm-hmm. Let him eat the grass. Let him eat the wheat and all that shit. So it doesn't make sense for us to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, like I said, it's impossible. And especially like if you're on the road, you're traveling, like you think you're getting good stuff, but like the way that they cook it, even they use the oils and then they cook the nutrients out of it. And it's like, well, I had some broccoli, and it's like, well, but that was nowhere near as nutrient dense as you thought it was.
Yeah. You know? A lot of calories, but not a lot of nutrients, which is a problem for us. And that's the corn or the corn syrup thing.
Oh, dude.
It's like, the messaging for it, you can find some of these old advertisements from the 50s trying to promote it and stuff. It's like, oh, it used to be used to fatten up cows and pigs for slaughter. Yeah,
right.
Like, oh, cool. Yeah. So what?
That's what we're doing.
The fuck are we doing here? And but the real, they didn't say that out loud, but that's what was being used for. But the punchline was, it's twice as cheap or it's twice as sweet as sugar, but cheaper to produce. Mm-hmm. Like, okay. Whenever in life, especially when it comes to health, but whenever is taking a shortcut been useful? Like, why do we think we're going to outsmart fucking millions of years of evolution? I don't understand that. that's the one piece of hubris about humanity that I still can't understand.
Yeah.
Like, why the fuck? It's never worked.
Well, that's why America is, 50 to 60-something percent obese now?
Yeah. So study just came out from the Department of Defense, actually. 67% of active military folks are considered obese on the BMI scale. Now, the BMI scale is not the best way to judge that.
Active military?
Yeah, active. Yep. Not veterans. Wow. Active. Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
That's
and then about 70% of the U.S. population that's not active military, that's under 25, is unfit for military service for the same reason.
That's a scary stat, yeah. Right there, man.
And 38% of Americans are either diabetic or in pre-diabetes.
Yeah, that's why shows like your guys are so important, mm-hmm. Dude. I think that the young men in this country are being just torn to shreds left and right, being pulled apart by these like crazy people on the right and crazy people on the left, and there's not a lot of like reasonable examples of strong men in the middle that are you know, helping these kids find a solution to.
But it is just a math equation, like you said, right?
Yeah,
it's all a math equation. It's like total amount of calories, the type of calories, how much do you burn,
right,
and then, you know, what kind of stuff are you putting into your body that affects your hormone levels, and how can you be resilient against that? Right. I mean, times change. New technologies come, new modalities of communication, and they all have up and downsides. The internet's good, it's bad. Mm-hmm. AI is going to be good and bad. Everything's always good. Every new piece of tech, there's going to be some level of creative destruction, and there's going to be some level of like amplifying what's already here.
Yeah.
And you got to, you know, be resilient and understand how to fucking leverage these things to your advantage and not get sucked in by the easiness of it, because that's what really fucks us up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not even talking about just on diet either. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about
everything.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a problem, I think.
It is, yeah. You know? Speaking of new tech, you've got this company,
Guestio,
mm-hmm. which is, tell me about that. It seems like Fiverr or something, but for guests. Like
Cameo. Yeah. Like Cameo, but for booking podcast guests. Yeah. So, it came out a couple years ago when I was just sitting around trying to book better guests for my show. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I would pay a speaking fee to certain individuals, like if I could, you know, get in touch with them and we could figure something out. So nothing like that existed. So we decided to build it. And that's what ended up becoming Guestio. But ultimately, man, what it's really become more of, rather than a platform for booking guests, it's become way more of a platform where people use us to go get booked on podcasts and promote things, you know, do it. So essentially, like our highest revenue comes from our booking concierge, where we like a PR firm, and we represent authors and.
But it's all digital, right? Like, how much back end work are you actually doing there?
We have both. We have software, and we have like an actual agency, like a service. I work in that business now, probably like 5 to 10 hours a week. It's mostly my staff now that does the majority of that particular business, because I enjoy podcasting and traveling too much. And then there's a couple other projects that we're looking at, but that's what came out of that. And podcasting led directly into basically all the stuff that I do now.
Well, that's the trick, right? It's like one of the real secrets of life. And it's something that I've tried to communicate to military veterans as well. Like, you feel like you get over the hump of something and then that part of your life is done. Like, and I have to constantly remind people, it's like, your service isn't over just because you took the uniform off, right? Mm-hmm. You're a man in America. Mm-hmm. You have a fucking responsibility. Mm-hmm. You know, we take it seriously here. So that's why you're fucking depressed, because your body and brain know you're supposed to be up to something and you're not. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's really simple. And in the same way, when you move into new avenues of your professional life, you know, it's like you're bringing that. It isn't just the Rolodex. It isn't just the contacts you made over the years. It's also the institutional knowledge that you made over the years. Mm-hmm. And you very likely have learned something at some point that you can manicure and leverage into a business for yourself, even if it's just spare cash.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm not going to get into some Gary V nonsense where you should quit your job and move to fucking the moon or whatever the fuck he says. But, you know, having...
There's something, though.
Yeah,
there's
like something. Having a fucking secondary income is super nice, man. And it also gives you something to do, especially if you're like a... If you're a married couple, having something like that, it can be stressful too, but having something like that is a really good way to fucking keep in contact with each other and you know, continue to grow together as a couple and stuff like that. I think it's really important to have something like that.
What I tell people too is like the side gig too, having a side gig that has the potential to allow you to leverage your time more efficiently at some point in the future.
And something that has meaning for you too.
Right.
I would strongly caution against it just being financial because
sure.
So sometimes it makes sense.
Yeah.
Like just we're flipping this into this and it makes us money. Good for you. Money, right. Money doesn't buy happiness, but it sure shit helps. You know what I mean? It doesn't necessarily buy happiness, but it can insulate you from problems and anxiety.
I tell people all the time, like money doesn't buy happiness, but it also doesn't buy sadness. I mean? So if it's completely neutral, why not have a lot of it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's better. It's objectively better to have more money than it is to have less money. Mm. If it's just a magnification, it's just magnifying who you currently are. You know, it's like, it has a neutral effect, then go get more because it's fun to have more.
Why not, man?
You know,
why not? I mean, you know, life is pretty fucking rough sometimes and being able to throw some money at a problem and make it go away, or throw some money and create some distance between you and the stress in your life.
Or to help the people who matter to you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Make sure your kids are going to private school probably or homeschooling or something.
Give them a better access to better education, access to even like better coaches if they want to, you know, be an athlete or they want to, you know what I mean? Like you can do that type of thing if you have some connections and you have a little bit of money. But yeah, dude, I encourage people like do the side hustle thing, but do it in a way like that. So like what the Gary Vee thing of, you know, flipping stuff at garage sales or whatever. It's like, yeah, that's a side hustle, but it will only ever be a side hustle.
Yeah.
Unless you learn how to flip houses, it's never going to turn into like actual money.
Right.
Whereas like if you start a, you know, there's this business that I tell people about all the time because I'm just like, this is one of my favorite like businesses that I've seen pop up for the last few years. And they're these, they do these routes and they clean your trash cans.
It's just like a truck that comes by
and we pay, I don't know, it's like $50 a month or something, but it's completely worth it to me.
It was probably started by some fucking 15-year-old too.
That's what I'm saying. Like your trash can's filthy and it gets all grimy and
stinks outside your house.
Nasty. Yeah, gross. So they just have a truck that comes by. Mm. Picks up the trash cans, like
it takes like 10 seconds.
Yeah,
like it's really quick. It's like those dishwasher things at bars, basically the little thing they just press down on it kind of works that way.
Yeah, and I was just like, this is an awesome business.
Yeah,
it's solving a problem that's a pesky problem to me that I don't like, and cleaning out my own trash cans disgusting.
Yeah,
like I don't want to do that yet, you know. But I can pay this person $50 a month. They're gonna come by. But like my point is, like if you start doing that and you just have a quick route and you do it on the weekends, it's like that could potentially turn into you having 12 crews of people that are driving all around, and you have 6 trucks, and you're making millions of dollars a year. That's my point in like finding a side hustle that has the ability to earn you outsized return on your time. So I had a buddy I was talking to about this recently. He's in, he's a cop, and he's talking about making more money or whatever. And he's like, "Well, I wanted to start taking more overtime and things like that." And he was like, "What would you do?" And I was like, "The thing is, dude, overtime will only ever make you this amount of money, and it will only ever pay you based on the number of hours that you're putting in.
It's also like you're also limited by the time value of money there, because there's no investment being made, right?
Correct.
I've explained this on the show before, but like your dollar thing, inflation, your dollar today is worth tomorrow, whatever, like minus inflation. Each day your dollar loses value unless you're growing the dollar.
Yep.
That's the only way it works.
And your
just working more is not the solution to this.
Correct. Your inflation raise is is not keeping up with inflation anymore.
No,
like, it hasn't. By a long shot.
Yeah, it used to be kind of close back in the '80s, I think, right. But it hasn't been like that for a long ass time.
So, like, you will only ever earn based on the number of hours that you put into it now and in 5 years.
Yeah.
So that's what I was encouraging him, is like, think of something that even if you make less money in that time in the next 12 months,
yeah,
that in 5 years from now, if it goes well, you could be making more money than you even make at your job, yeah, like full time.
I mean, start a company that does security consulting.
Yeah.
That isn't a heavy lift for you. That's just institutional knowledge that you can put down into a piece of paper
training
that's
valuable,
but it's still valuable to somebody else.
It's a skill set you've already earned.
I think a lot of people feel weird about that. They're like, well, that's not hard to do. That's just something I do every day. Why should I be getting paid more for that? It's like, because that information, it has value for other people. Otherwise, they wouldn't fucking buy it.
That's the problem with most people when they get into business, they've never been in business, is they think they're charging for their hours because that's all I've ever been paid for.
Yeah.
It's like, you're not charging for the hours that it takes for you to complete the job.
Yeah.
You're charging for the 20 years of experience that you have doing this damn job. That's why you deserve to get paid more when you're going and like doing these, you know, whatever consulting based jobs or what, like, you're charging based on a skill set that you've earned over 20 years, not based on, well, it took me 8 hours to do the job. So that's, you know, if I charge $30 an hour, it's like, well, dude, you're thinking about it the wrong way, man. Like, you have to charge based on the expertise that you've built and the experience that you've created over that long. Like, people pay for the value exchange. They're not paying for your time.
And you, I mean, you know, and also, maybe it seems like a lot of money, but you're providing, like, you're giving them, are you familiar with the book Traction? Do you know that book?
Yep.
Yeah, it's really good. So
there's
this metaphor about, the most difficult thing in anything in life, but for entrepreneurship, it's a giant fucking circular stone. The most difficult thing is to get it moving in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Then it becomes, you know, progressively easier to keep it moving and to pick up speed. And you can quantify that with numbers, like it's 7 times more expensive to create a new customer than to keep an old one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can just do little things to keep them. Now you're giving people a jump start. You're taking them from 0 miles per hour to 2 miles per hour when that would have taken them 2 or 3 years.
It's a heavy lift.
Right? It would have taken them a while. It's why restaurants have such a hard problem. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not profitable before 2 years, very rarely before 4.
Yeah.
The ones that are super successful. But if you can give somebody a little boost like that, right, that's, you're doing them a fucking favor,
it's
man. No matter how much money you're charging them, you're doing them a favor.
Yep. And which also, you know, not to get too deep in the business weeds, but also matters why picking your market also matters so much. Like, you solve that same exact problem for somebody that's going to make $100 million this year, you can get paid a lot more. Than somebody who's going to make $100,000 this year, just because, like, the value that you're providing is basically the same, but it, like, objectively from your point of view, but from their point of view, it's like, well, you just saved us. You know, we were going to hire this entire department, but based on what you just told us, we're not going to do that anymore. Now we can chop $8 million off of our budget this year. And, like, yeah, they're willing to pay you a good amount of money if you can save them $8 million. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, especially saving $8 million now that they can reinvest into something else.
Right.
Again, with the time value of money, is that that's, and with current inflation rate, that's almost $9 million. Right. So you made them $1 million just by giving them some advice, and you're worried about charging them money for it. It's like, no, that was before they even made the investment. You made them $1 million right off the bat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Do the math in your head.
They are happy to pay. You know, like, they're not even upset about it. Just like, talk to the accounting department. We'll get you paid.
Tell me about the show.
Yeah.
About your podcast.
Yeah. So the show's been going for over 6 years now. It used to be called Build Your Network. It was very, like, niche specific business show on helping people, you know, learn how to build relationships better in business. And then, frankly, I just kind of got bored with only talking about that all the time. And we rebranded at the beginning of this year to Travis Makes Friends, which still allows me to kind of go along that relationship kind of path, because I do think that's a huge problem in the country, is like loneliness, and people don't make friendships and people don't have deep relationships. And the ones that they do have are ones that hold them down and keep them from being the ultimate version of themselves. And I think that that's a huge pervasive problem that
you will rise and fall to the level of the company you keep.
Absolutely.
That is a fucking fact of life.
And you have to intentionally go out and find people that can sharpen you, make you better, because it's not going to happen on accident.
Yeah.
They're not going to come looking for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the show is still kind of based on that, but now it's more of a kind of a broader scope, so I can talk to more people that I was not really, they wouldn't have been stoked to come on a show about networking at the time, you know right. what I mean? But now it's like I can talk to more comedians mm-hmm. and entertainers and athletes and, you know, people like that on the show now, and I've been just having a blast with it again. You know, for a while, I just kind of got like, I got to do this, and I got to make sure I stay, keep my posting schedule up or whatever, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But now, you know, beginning of this year, we've just been doing, if I want to do the interview, I do the interview. Mm. If I don't want to do the interview, I don't do the interview. And I stopped really caring about like giving a reason for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you get that, you know, people, I'm sure you get this all the time. People ask you to be on the show and then like you feel bad and you kind of want to come up with these, you know, 12 reasons why it's just not a good fit at the time. But like now I'm just like, nah, I just don't want to, you know, that's just, and it's my show. And so I reserve the right.
Saying no is difficult for most people. I find,
yeah.
I we are community based people. Human beings are, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
We crave that shit, whether we want to admit it or not. Yep. You know, we definitely crave it. But and I guess that explains why so many people agree to shit that they shouldn't. So many people stay in relationships longer than they should, stuff mm-hmm. like that. But saying no is a skill.
Absolutely.
Like you have to develop that. It's not a talent. You don't just, well, some people are dicks, I guess. I can say no to anything.
It's
I don't
just
give a
natural
shit.
Being a dick.
Yeah, I don't. But it's I don't even know that it's just. I still think it was a skill that I developed over time.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like you have to be willing. I don't think you should set out to fucking hurt anybody's feelings or anything.
No, absolutely not.
And you shouldn't be ambivalent about your impact on other people either, because it's important to think about it. But, you know.
Correct.
Something either makes sense or it doesn't. If their reaction is not your fucking problem.
Well, I think you get at some point you just got to break the habit. Because at first I said yes to everything. Because like sometimes you have
well, you
to be in that
have
face.
To. When yeah. you're an early show, you probably should.
You got
to
just say yes, man.
Yeah.
Say yes, show up, say yes, show yeah. up, say yes, show up, and do that over and over and over again. But then what happens over time is you build the habit of saying yes, and then it starts to flip. Mm. And then you just start saying yes to everything. And now all of a sudden, like your time is strapped. You're not doing the things you enjoy anymore. You don't have any time to spend with your family or the people that you love because you keep saying yes to everything all the time. And it's like at some point, it's got to flip and you got to start saying no to people. And you have to learn how to do it in a way that, you know, like you said, doesn't allow you to, it doesn't, you know, cause you to be a complete asshole to everybody.
There should be an ROI though.
Yeah,
for sure. In anything you do, unless you're personally doing it for leisure. I mean, your
right.
time is valuable, you know, not just time, but the second and third order effects of whatever event that is, like the preparation and recovery and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it swells inside of your schedule and fucks things up sometimes. So
yeah. And like you guys, you know, we put a lot of work into the show.
Mm.
So it's like when I do an episode now, it's like, it takes a lot of time. Yeah. I usually do it in person. I'm flying out to somewhere. Like my team is a heavy lift on cutting up content and clips. And, you know, we try to do the best that we can. I prep for the interviews. We have a good conversation, you know, like I've done like 700 freaking interviews now. So like, it's something that I feel like I'm gotten better at over time. And I have great conversations with really cool people, from all different walks of life. Like I'll have a pastor on and then I'll have a comedian and then I'll have somebody that's a OnlyFans model. And I'll have like, I want to talk to like anybody that agrees with me and disagrees with me. And I want to talk to him about all of it.
Yeah.
And I think that correct ideas come from interaction with incorrect ideas. And if you're too afraid to get your ideas around other ideas, then you don't know if you have the correct ones.
Yeah.
And so true. I like to get around people who challenge the ideas that I have so that I can see if I still hold them to be correct or not.
Yeah. You really should not, man. I mean, look, we are naturally going to gravitate towards people who look and think like us.
Of course.
That's just how fucking human beings have always worked. But you should definitely, if we talk about doing the hard thing or chasing the hard thing to make sure that you're staying sharp and stuff like that, maybe aside from just diet and moving around a little bit, probably the most important way to execute that in your life is by challenging your fucking epistemology, your ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like, if you were, like, let's say you're a golfer, right?
Yeah.
Your swing's fucked up. Like, all right, cool. Let me break this way down. Are my feet in the right place? Am I the right distance from the ball? All these things, right? Mm-hmm. Like you start you go down to your little fact sheet and make sure that all the facts are still right.
Right, right.
Because the result is not what I want. So are the facts still right? What am I doing here?
Right.
You should always be doing that. You shouldn't be in, you shouldn't constantly change your opinions on everything, because that means you're probably a little bit too influenced by that stuff.
Changing and challenging are two very different things. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and if you've never changed your opinion, I think that's a problem.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't take you seriously as like a thinker, as like somebody who is going to have an interesting conversation. It's like, if you can't tell me, like, you know, that question of when was the last time you changed something you believe? Like, if you can't sincerely tell me something, it's like, that's a problem. Because what are the odds you were just born right?
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, they're not good.
I mean, that's religious fundamentalism, right? It's like, what are the chances that of all the religions that have existed throughout human history, you happened to the genetic chance or mistake that you were born in the place that got it all right?
100% correct.
Seems unlikely.
Some pastor in Alabama.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, nope, we're right, and we know we're right.
Yeah, fucking Richard Dawkins wrote about that in his autobiography, about how he was like 13. And it's very ironic, because I kind of experienced the same thing when I was a teenager. He was in a COE, like a Church of England school of some sort. I think it was one of the Oxford prep schools. And he was like 12 or 13 years old. He goes, you know, and they were learning about the Ottoman Empire. He goes, you know, it's weird. If I had been born in Egypt, I would be Muslim, and it would be out of my control. So maybe I should take another look at all
and
this.
And just as Muslim.
Yeah.
As
Christian.
100%, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so
potentially
maybe,
even more so. I mean, those dudes are killing themselves sometimes. Yeah. Like the fundamentalists in that version.
Yeah, it's like, it's a good practice, I think, to like, and it's not easy, because we are very cognitively dissonant. Life is fucked up. And one of the ways that you can deal with how fucked up it is to lie to yourself.
Exactly.
Right? But
it's way easier, man.
If the house is on fire and you smell smoke, it's like, There's only a certain amount of time that you're going to be able to pretend that fire is not going on.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
Well, when I was leaving everything, man, I had a lot of people that would throw that accusation at me. Like, well, you're just choosing the easy way out because you just want to drink and you want to do these things. And like,
you think leaving everything you've ever known is like, the easy way
this
out?
Is
like,
the
what
easy?
The fuck are you talking about?
What? Like, I almost lost my marriage. Like, my wife grew up the same way I did. You know, we're still like, we were high school sweethearts. We're still married to this day. Like, you don't think there was a lot of tension in our marriage when we were trying to work through these types of like fundamentalist beliefs and stuff like that? What are you talking about? This was not easy. In fact, I wish in a lot of ways that I would have just been somebody who could have just stuck with it, because it would have been so much easier to just keep believing everything.
Yeah, that's crazy that it would be easier to change everything. But, you know, look, you have to have strong roots. You know what I mean? That's why I like thinking about religion and philosophy, because if you remove all the names and titles and places and shit like that, you will find it pretty difficult at the granular level to tell the difference between one and the other. And that says something about humanity, right? It says that there's probably some universal truth that we're all getting close to.
Yeah.
We all have our
foundation
little bit of,
that we agree on.
We've got our little bend on it from time to time, but the bend turns out to be the weird, like rigid theological stuff that doesn't necessarily matter.
Doesn't matter, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like the Southern Baptists, as long as you don't smoke, drink, or swear, that you're like, you're good. That's all you got to really do.
Yeah.
And then, you know, your guys are a little bit more, I guess, rigid about
things. More intense,
And other religions have like very strict rules about things, but you'll find some version of the golden rule in every single religion or philosophy that's ever existed.
Yep.
You'll find some set of pillars of faith inside of it, like Christianity, Judaism, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, Jainism. All these religions have a little core list of things that are fucking good to do. Like mostly, almost everybody, giving to the poor is one of them, right? Taking care of other people, not abusing people.
Being like, kind,
it's
loving
like
your neighbor.
The same, and I'm not telling you to abandon your religion or anything. I think religion and culture are really important for the individual and for communities as well. But understand that at the base level, we're all talking about the same shit here.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And it should be no surprise to you that that's the case, because we're all fucking living the same life. So it's good to keep that in mind.
I get a lot of shit when I say this on shows, but I just feel like it's true. I just felt like, I think basically all religion is 20% right and 80% doesn't matter. But the 80%,
80% going to like go to Catholic mass, the standing up, sitting down, standing up, exactly. sitting down.
The 80% is what all the wars and abuse and terrible nonsense that religion has caused over the last couple of millennia.
But it's all like pointless ritualistic nonsense. Exactly. None of it ever has anything to do with the core
or how belief. You live your life or whatever. You know, it's just like, well, that's what I respect about, you know, my Mormon friends is like, they have strong values. Yeah. They love their family. They work really hard. Like there's values that exist in each of those cults. Like with your Mormon, your Hindu, whatever, there's these values that exist that are across all of them that have made their way and stood the test of time. Yeah. It's like, maybe those are the things that we should be focusing on rather than like what you happen to call your God based on like the cultural, you know, milieu of where you happen to be born.
Yeah. I mean, the principles, like that's the granular thing that you can always fall back on is what is the principle. Like it should be the case that someone can commit a crime and regardless of what your particular, whatever the belief system sitting on top of your core principles, we should all be able to agree that that person was wrong. Mm-hmm, right. Mm-hmm. But you see it not only in religion, but in American politics as well, where people are like Republican or Democrat or whatever the fuck they are, and they'll defend their person regardless of how wrong they are. That's
one thing that drives me crazy,
fucked,
dude.
Man, we can't operate like that.
My producer Eric has a show called Preacher Boys, and it uncovers abuse in the IFB movement, and it's insane. First of all, how much material he has, like how much abuse continues to go on, and how pervasive it is in that world. But exactly what you're talking about. It's like, well, if we can agree that abuse is bad, then why do you keep covering it up?
Yeah.
Like that, you cannot tell me like, well, you know, we don't want to hinder the cause of Christ and we don't want to have a bad name for the church. It's like, this is a bad name for the church.
Yeah. I don't think anybody sees the abuse in the Catholic Church or in your church or some others. There have been some other churches in Canada, especially, that have done some of this stuff too. It's like, I don't think anybody, like, if you go read the red text in the New Testament where Jesus is talking, he doesn't mention anything about fucking kids.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? So how could you?
I think we can all agree.
Back?
Yeah.
Like, there's no linkage between those two things.
There's an entire law firm that's like they save pastor and they do some good work too, and they protect some, you know, good people as well. I'm sure. I assume. Anyway, I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt because I'm talking out of my ass on that part. But they defend these pastors who have covered up abuse. It's like, well, you know, but they're leading this church of 20,000 people. It's like, well, that's worse. Mm. You should be all for the accountability. Like, you can't hide the fact that your son is abusing this 14-year-old girl in your church because it might hurt your reputation in the local papers. That is the opposite of what you're supposed to be doing as a church leader. What are you talking about? And how are you defending him to the judge? Like, this should not exist.
Yeah.
This value takes priority over whatever you think your mission is here. Yeah. Like, this 13-year-old girl didn't ask for any of this. Yeah. So, you know, like, you are the one that's in the wrong here, absolutely and completely. And there's no version of this that you can explain to me that's like, well, but we're connected to God or whatever bullshit thing you're telling yourself, it's wrong.
Yeah.
Objectively.
There's no, like, club you can be a part of by birth or by choice that's going to resolve that conflict between good and evil.
Right.
That's not how good and evil works. Mm-hmm. Something is either right or it's wrong. Mm-hmm. It's not like,
doesn't care.
I guess good and evil are dispassionate in that way. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter one way or the other. So, you know, principles, that's why I built a show around principles. It's why I like to talk about them. We talked about it today, so mission accomplished. And we're gonna go do another show. That one will be quite a bit weirder than this one.
All right.
So I hope you're ready for that. Tell everybody where they can find you before we get out of here.
Yeah, dude. Travis Makes Friends. So we've been doing the show for over 6 years, but our biggest mistake was getting on YouTube only this year. So we're playing catch up on YouTube. So if you can do me a favor and head over to @TravisMakesFriends on YouTube and give us a subscribe over there.
Yeah, we'll put a link in the description there. Sweet. Well, thanks for the conversation, man. I appreciate it. I appreciate you coming out here for this.
Yeah, dude. Thanks for having me. It's a blast.
Anytime. And thank you all for watching. This has been Citizen.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.